You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
From the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, a weekly program focusing on local issues, prominent local candidates, political experts, and community leaders, helping to build better communities. This is Lean Local. And now, here's your host, former Green Bay Mayor Jim Schmidt.
All right, welcome everyone. We are back with Lean Local. This is the show that does what we say, and we lean into the local issues. Now, we were on for a year, and Civic Media made some enhancements. No, I want to say changes, like they canned my Mino and the Mayor show. They made some enhancements, which is really working well for the station and actually the community, and the ratings are great. They've really gone in the daytime now to this local news and timeless hits, which I listen to every day. I love it. They have other shows that come on, after some analysis of the market and what people were thinking, they wanted to bring Lean Local back. So we've been off for a couple months, but we are back. And we're going to do what we did prior to taking our little hiatus, and that's to lean into local issues here in Brown County, in Greater Green Bay. And that's not to say we're not concerned with what's going on nationally and statewide, because we are, and there's so much going on. And we're not being critical of our local media, but in their defense, they only have so much time, right? And especially TV news. I mean, what are they on for, half hour? And it's 30% commercials, so you got maybe, 20 minutes. And for whatever reason, Green Bay likes the weather, so that's another, 5 minutes of this show. So, and then you got national and state, and there's very little that gets local. So on this show here, we get to spend almost an hour with our guests, and it's a guest show, and we talk about not only the issue, and very interesting subject today, and many interesting subjects in the queue for the next few months that we have lined up, but we really try to get into what's going on here locally. And so many of the things that we have here in Green Bay are national issues, but how do we deal with them in Green Bay? That's always the question. It's like, this is happening everywhere. Okay, how are we dealing with it? On everything from fentanyl, immigration, school safety, economic development, everything. And we have our own little local community here. It's not that little, but how are we dealing with it? And that's what I try to bring into the show here. And today, coming back, I wanted to start off with something, I guess powerful would be the word, or important, nonetheless. And this month, as everyone knows or should know, is Suicide Awareness Month. This is an issue that is, again, national. Almost 50,000 lives are taken by suicide. And what are we doing here in Brown County? What are we doing here in Green Bay? And we're going to talk about that. We've got some very great guests here. There's Jenny Young, who, of course, is the director of the Family Resource Center and Crisis Center. And then Sarah Donovan, who's a licensed therapist and chaired the Be the Light Walk. And some of you who are listening, I know some of you who are listening, attended the Be the Light Walk, which, when I was mayor, I went to 500 events a year. I'm not kidding you guys. That was one of my favorites. Just because of the spirit that was there. I mean, the camaraderie and it was sad, but it was really uplifting. And we'll get into that a little bit later. But anyway, so we're back here in the studio, and we'll be doing this every Sunday. And thank you for joining us. A little bit different than last time when we were on. Now, if you can't catch us on Sunday mornings, you can sure download us on the Civic Media app or on any of the streaming sites, social on Spotify and everything else, and listen to us at your own convenience. But so Conrad, it's good to see you again.
Yeah, good to see you back in the chair over there.
Yeah, I know. Don't I look good?
Yeah.
You haven't said anything.
Sorry.
Did you notice I've lost some weight working out?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, you're sure. I'm bringing that guy. That's one of our guests that's coming on as my trainer.
Okay.
Bring your notepad. And Kyle, you're back with us again. Kyle's our...
Yep, it's good to see you, Jim.
What I call you, Kyle? My wingman? Now I'll just call you my intern. It feels better. Because then that tells them what I'm paying you. Now, Kyle's here, and he's a... When we get into the whole... We're going to bring some business people on here that have been extremely successful. And I will tell you, I teach at NWTC. I know quite a bit about business. That's... People maybe know me as the mayor, but I was quite successful in business. This kid's an entrepreneur, so it's going to be fun to watch him. You know, he's 22, and he reminds me a little bit about me. But it's just great to see young people go on and take risks and lose money, but then they're making a lot of money. I don't know. I hope he doesn't do the first part, but he's very aggressive and very smart. So let's get into today's subject. And it's suicide prevention. So the Brown County Coalition for Suicide Prevention, right? I mean, you guys got your mission statement dedicated to promoting awareness, providing education, and overcoming the stigma, and supporting survivors of suicide in Brown County area. And a couple questions, but Jenny, why don't you just tell us a little bit about yourself, you as well, Sarah, and then my first question is going to be, why did you choose this field? I mean, there's so many things out there, and you're both very well educated. We'll talk about that, but first introduce your background, a little bit about yourself.
Sure. So again, I'm Jenny Young. I'm the director with Family Services Crisis Center. I have been with the Crisis Center for nearly 21 years. I worked frontline as one of the counselors for 10 years and now have been in leadership. In addition to that role, I chair the Brown County Coalition for Suicide Prevention. I've been doing that for, I think, 3 years now.
That's great. All right. How about you, Sarah?
Hey, I'm Sarah Donovan. I have been a therapist, a licensed therapist for probably 23 years, maybe. And I joined the Be the Light Walk committee 8 years ago, and I'm also a part of the coalition with Jenny. So I've been in a variety of different roles in the mental health field throughout my career.
So suicide is, as I said earlier, a national problem, right? Don't we have, wasn't I reading here, about 49,000 people in the United States take their lives by suicide? 8th, 9th, 10th largest cause of death here. And we're not immune to that here in Brown County. And I have the graphs and all the charts and things that people maybe can't see, but how are we doing? How you guys have been, especially 21 years, that's a long time. How do you think we're handling this? Because my thing, even when I was in office or even in home, if you don't talk about it, it gets worse. I think we all know that. And I just want to mention that suicide walk. I went to the first one in 2003 in Howard. A lady called me and it was later than that. I was elected in 2003. It was later than that. But anyway, would you come to that? And it was just a handful of people there, you guys. There was nobody there. And I was uncomfortable in that. I don't know a lot about it, but I'll support pretty much anything in the community. And I just couldn't believe how honest the people were that were there. It's unbelievable. It's just like I knew them at the end of the walk. And you had 1,400 people.
I think probably 1,550 is what we ended up
having. Unbelievable. Why this field?
For me personally, I had gone through a lot of loss in high school, not necessarily to suicide. We had lost 9 students in the course of a year in my high school, some from suicide, some from cancer. So I had done a lot of, at a young age, work in grief. And so my initial career path was grief counseling. That's what I went to college for. That's what I was going to do. Coming out of college, there were not opportunities available, so I started at the Crisis Center to bide time until I made that switch, and just really found that I enjoyed that work, and it was a similar line of meeting with people in some of their darkest moments and helping them find hope and ideally turn things around and move in a more positive direction despite that negative experience. And now it's just about trying to make as much of a difference and spread that word and reach as many people as possible, either through my professional role or through the coalition.
So I would say that I just always liked to hear a story. And so I was really always invested and interested in hearing people's stories. And so that kind of led me into, I'll try psychology. So went to get that degree. And of course, you finish a bachelor's in psychology and they're like, yeah, you're not going to be able to do much with that. Right. So said, okay, I guess I'll go to grad school. And about halfway through grad school, I lost my brother-in-law to suicide. Huh? So my sister had been married for 4 months and it was very unexpected. It just rattled my world. At that time, I was working in the prison system and all my job was to do suicide assessments. I worked in their lockdown unit and I walked around and I got assessed to see people's risk. And so I was I had a really tough time because I thought, how did I miss this? How did I miss what I do every day, but in my personal life? I had an amazing mentor at the time who really spent some time with me kind of walking through that and using that pain for something much more powerful in my life. And I don't know, those who have seen me at the walk know that I have my daughter is there. She's been there every year. My mom has a role. My dad has a role. My brother has a role. My sisters have a role. My aunts and uncles are there. And we are all a part of that event and putting it on and talking about, suicide in as much of an open concept as we can. As you talk about, there were not many people there. They were kind of make people get awkward and uncomfortable. My daughter's in high school. She's a senior in high school. And to be able to have those conversations with her is part of that, being a part of Be the Light and having that, she is able to bring that into her school and her interactions with her teenage friends, which are such a high risk.
So I want to talk about that because one of your mission statement is the stigma of suicide. And both of you, it sounds like we kind of started off on a one-on-one. You were working with people on the crisis line and you were, of course, working with people in the prison system, but it's so much bigger than that. I as I told you, before we went on the air here, I was amazed at the number of support organizations that were on that walk. I mean, there were 40 booths there. And, you go to these organizations on great things, on Alzheimer's and everything, cancer walks for breast cancer. And there are support groups there. But to have 40 there for something that, I don't think we talked about 20 years ago. I don't remember that. So you've done a lot more than these one-on-one counseling things. I mean, how did you build the coalition? And I want people to know what is all out there. I mean, obviously, GBPD was there, but just everything from the veterans were there and some people from the LGBTQ community were there, just booth after booth. And tell me how that got built up. How did you get that awareness? And they're not like, they weren't as... we talked about the first walk. It was kind of awkward. I can't think of a better word right now. And now it's like people are into this.
Yeah, I think initially the coalition was built out of seeing the need, seeing the number of suicides that we experienced in Brown County. And it was a number of invested stakeholders that came together and said, we need to do something to make a change, to reduce this number. So survivors, professionals in the community, all that are impacted directly, trying to, again, expand their reach, impact more people through this effort. And then we just continue to try to bring in more people because everyone is impacted, whether, again, in a personal manner or in their professional roles. We've all been impacted by suicide in some way.
Right. All right, we're going to go to a quick break. I want to get back. I want to talk about how are we doing and then what people can do, because there are some signs of suicide that I think we've got to be aware of, and we're going to talk about that when we get back. You're listening to Lean Local with Jim Schmidt.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
All right, welcome. back. You're listening to Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, and we are focusing our show today and leaning into the local issue of suicide. And we have two great guests with us today that have tremendous amount of experience. Sarah Donovan and Jenny Yonk work with the Family Crisis Center, and as well as a therapist and chairperson of Be the Light Walk. And we're doing a lot here. We before we went to break, we were talking about how many organizations are affiliated with suicide prevention. At the Be the Light Walk, we had over 1,500 participants, and a very emotional, because they all had some kind of connection with suicide. A family member, or they knew someone, and they had these shirts with people's loved ones on. And then you had that, which was I had to speak at that, and I wish I wouldn't have gone. I should have gone after that wall of people, a lot of young people on there, and some of them were rather recent. You look at the state of Wisconsin, and you know, we've seen an increase, and then a decrease, and then an increase, and it kind of hovers around 1,000. Here in Brown County, obviously significantly less. We're just a small part of the state. But with that said, we do have suicide here in Brown County. People who are listening, is there something to look for? Because I think everybody worries about their kids, or I think we should start worrying about people who are 55 and 60 now too. I mean, is that right? I mean, who's, I think that is statistically true that yep. there are.
The senior population is especially with them, it's access to medication, and which is a method that they just have a quick access to. So that's often an issue with our senior population, though I don't like to say that senior population. That's too close to my age at this point to call it that. So.
Okay, I thought you were just looking at me to, okay. No. But, you know, when you look at the way we kind of treat seniors in this country versus some other countries, I don't know.
It's loneliness.
It is.
Loneliness.
And access. Mm-hmm. And we can talk about seniors, and I want to touch on that, but I also want to talk about the youth. Or as a parent, or as just a concerned person,
it's terrifying.
But what do people look for? But what do you, are the things that you see? There's got to be some trends or some connectivity between suicides. Yes.
Yes, I mean there are signs. You know, obviously, I mean we were talking about it on break about the fact that it's okay to ask somebody directly about, are you feeling suicidal, right? And so being able to have those open conversations with kiddos will help in that respect. But having communication with, I think, your teens, your less than, you know, your middle schoolers is one of the best interventions you can have. Now, in terms of signs, it can vary by person. I think, you know, when we look at when we look at probably adult population, they start giving away or not having, giving away things that are important to them or making plans. But unfortunately, you know, you look at a kid, so under, brain's not done cooking until you're about 25, right? And so they kind of will make impulsive decisions. And as I tell my kids, they don't realize it was going to be better tomorrow, you know, or it could have been better tomorrow. And so their brain kind of doesn't see that as well. So, mm-hmm. You know, when you're seeing kids who are isolating, or even with younger kids, if they get angry, irritable and angry is kind of a mask of depression when you're talking about adolescents and younger, that's one of the signs of depression that will often be misconstrued, that it's somebody who's, they just have a behavior problem, but it's really the depressive symptoms, and that's how it manifests itself in those teenagers. So looking for those intense emotions, which unfortunately our adolescents have, that's their general baseline is to be kind of
right. You don't overreact.
Intense. Yeah.
But where, so you got a parent that, and like you said, I mean, kids are kids, but so much isolation or maybe so much of these emotional swings. And again, I'm far from knowledgeable on that, but what does someone do? Do they call you at the crisis line? Do they call their priest? Do they call their school counselors? I mean, the school thing, and I have that written down here. I guess I'm going to ask you now, but you know, our secretary of Kennedy wants to test every kid for mental health. I'm curious as to what you think about that. I talked to some people about that, knowing you guys were going to be on the show. We test them for physical health. Now they're doing that whole, you guys are too young, but we used to have that presidential thing. You had to climb, do the chin-ups and climb the rope, and I hated that. And I think they're thinking of something akin to that for mental health. Do you agree that we should be testing every kid?
That's a tough question for me. So I have a kid who's in high school, and I have essentially exempted her from being tested. So I'm probably a bad person to ask about this. But part of it is because the follow-up, like unless I understand what you're doing with that, I don't know that that's, you know, I mean, I think we should be screening. We should be taking a look. We should be aware. I think our teachers have a pulse on things that we are maybe not tapping into as well as we could because they're seeing so much, you know, 8 hours a day with those kids. But I don't think there's a bad thing that could happen by looking, you know, like going through that. I always want to understand what are we doing then?
The follow-up and then the detail of the assessment too, I'm sure, you know, whether it's just, I want to, before we go to break, I'm going to come back and talk to you a little bit more about a couple of the things I have here, but I think people, if they're noticing someone really dropping out, losing their friends, and I'm talking about adults too, but you guys are more into the youth thing. My kids are a little bit older now, but I think people are always afraid to broach the subject of suicide. And like you said, that was in their head a long time before if you brought up. And they can say no, but I think it's okay to ask. And that can be awkward, but I hope our listeners know that it's okay to bring that up and say, look, have you thought about that? And if they have, when we get back, you're going to tell us what we should do. All right, we're going to be right back. This is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt.
From the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, a weekly program focusing on local issues, prominent local candidates, political experts, and community leaders, helping to build better communities. This is Lean Local. And now, here's your host, former Green Bay Mayor, Jim Schmidt.
All right, welcome back, everyone, to the second part of Lean Local, where we are going to continue our discussion on this. The subject matter of suicide, and specifically suicide prevention. This is something that has been around for a long, long time. It's become an issue politically. It's always kind of been up there. Are we doing enough? What more can we do? But here in Brown County, I mean, we're doing this right. I mean, it's like maybe 20 years ago that we started this whole Be the Light Walk, which is just to get people to talk about it. And don't be... it's nothing to be ashamed of. I mean, suicide happens, and it's very sad. But there are also things that, if we work together, if we share our thoughts, our feelings, we can, you know, get through this. But equally as important is we can help this community in the future, and that's what we've been doing. And as I mentioned at the last Be the Light Walk, with 1,500 people who walked just this downtown area, and the bridges were lit. Honoring with the teal and the purple, honoring the suicide colors. And it was very uplifting towards the end. I just really, as I said to you guys, I can't tell you enough how important that is. And I brought other mayors in when I was mayor just to show them, like, this is what you can do if a community comes together on something. Because I think some people still don't do enough or aren't doing enough. And here we are. And there are some things that are working. And I was just kind of going through some of the things that people... this whole reducing access to lethal means. Thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I think that's one of the most important things that anyone can do, especially within their own homes. And we're not talking about necessarily eliminating guns. I'm not going to go into that by any means. People have a right to firearms. However, we strongly encourage safe storage, whether it is... gun safes, or we promote gun locks. We give those away at every event that we are at, because slowing a person down when they maybe have an impulsive thought or have been planning a suicide attempt, that the amount of time it might take them to either find that firearm or get a lock off of it could be enough time to change their frame of mind and make them rethink what they're planning to do. And the same goes for medication lockboxes, or just restricting any other means that could potentially be harmful. And like at the crisis center, we ask people if they have a plan. But even if they don't have a specific plan in mind, that doesn't mean that we're not going to encourage families to lock up potentially lethal means, because that could be the difference in saving someone's life. And again, whether you know someone to be suicidal or even before it reaches that point, it's just a smart idea to have
right.
firearms stored safely.
And you're right about that timing. I mean, if it's right there in the drawer, but if and what a difference 90 seconds or can make.
That yep, absolutely. It could be the difference between life and death.
Right, right. So this gatekeeper training education, and I'm going to spend a little time on this, and that's really training people in the community, you know, teachers, clergy, first responders, anyone really, to recognize warning signs. Here in Brown County, a lot of these acronyms, but this QPR, SOS, Hope Squad, that Hope Squad I thought found really interesting reading about that. Can you guys want to, either one of you want to talk about any of these?
Well, the Hope Squad is in the high school and middle school.
Right.
And they're kind of promoting positive mental health and being a peer support for other people. The coalition helps support some of those efforts. There's some trainings that they've been invited to. Jenny and I were just talking before this about a program that piqued my interest called Safe Talks. And, you know, is this something that we could help bring more information to kiddos in the school district, like through the Hope Squads? And then we have QPR training. You might be able to speak to that a little bit more, Jenny.
Yep. So QPR, I mean, very similar to CPR, right? Like, it's lay people trained in skills that could help someone in an emergency. And so we take that same model for mental health, where QPR, we're training people to first how to recognize the signs that someone may be suicidal, how to ask them if they are suicidal or kind of how severe those thoughts are, how to persuade them to get help, and then how to make that referral to a professional that may be able to assist them. Because I think what's important to know is while Sarah and I may do this in our professional roles, it's not just us that do suicide prevention work. It's not just the professionals. We rely on the community and loved ones around people to first recognize that they need help and then help bring them to our attention or make that connection, because without everyone working on this together, we're not going to be able to drive that number down because we can't see what everyone's up to all the time.
This QPR training, that's volunteer, do we pay for that? Let's say I want to get trained in QPR.
QPR trainings
can
are
I?
Yep, absolutely. They are free of charge. Typically, we have oftentimes it's places of employment that are requesting QPR trainings for their employees. We have tried to do community trainings where we just open it up to anyone. Those are not often the most well attended, so it usually works with targeted efforts like those employment based trainings. But if anyone would reach out and express interest and we had enough people that wanted to individually be trained, our coalition will put together a training as much as possible.
Okay, so we've talked about a lot of things, but access, somebody listening, how do they get everything from, you talked about the student-driven organizations in high schools to, you just talked about QPR training or someone with crisis. Is there a number that you suggest or an organization to start with? And I want to just rattle off some of these 40 organizations, but you don't want to, you can call the police department, right? I mean, is that what would you suggest if someone's like, hey, look, I'm really, really concerned?
Well, honestly, Jenny, with 988 right now is an easy number to remember. It gets you access. They'll start talking to you about where could you get services.
All right, and that's the starting point. So if you call 988 and explain your situation, be it your loved one, or you can call
if you're
personally struggling, and they have access to everything we just kind of have been talking about and more.
Yes, there'll be trained people there. Jenny runs that, who will help do an assessment, talk to the person. And I mean, honestly, their emergency room is always the place to end up, right? So, because then they can do an assessment in person, they can talk to you and then get you connected if there's something that requires maybe, you know, they always talk about, okay, it's a 72-hour hold, right? But the idea is it's just buying that time, right? Because every emotion changes. You are never always mad. You are never always happy. You are never always sad. So it's just buying the time until that emotion or that wave moves on. And so, and then getting the follow-up to how do we not end up in that crisis again?
Okay. 988 is where we start, and they can help you out. I want to, as great as you're doing, I don't want to leave that things are great, because I don't think they are. And they won't be until it's zero, right? And I know zero is a lofty goal, but zero is the goal. But I'm just reading on Brown County trends, and they talk about how the teen suicide attempts in Wisconsin girls, that's concerning. That's gone up. My statistics show 50%, and I'm sure you have programs that's got to have a little bit to do with your kiddos in school as well. That they're, do you blame? Not blame. Social media, this bullying, I know you talked about that a little bit before we came on the air. Is that something that needs to be addressed? I feel sorry for kids. You know, I was a kid, it was a long time ago. My kids, not that long ago, but I just think today it's, I don't know.
Hard. It's hard to get connected. It's hard to stay connected to friends. I mean, I have a teenage girl, and so just, man, some of those years were tough ones, right? I mean, trying to navigate that and help create an emotionally resilient kiddo is, you know, was a challenge. But I think there's a lot of pressure for them. And then to be, you know, not to throw another issue in here, but when we will, I don't believe that we have seen the complete impact of the COVID isolation yet. I mean, that's still out there. I think that is going to present itself in different ways over many years. And we will be navigating how to deal with that, with the, especially the kids who were just shut down in their homes and maybe lost access. I know the Coalition and some other programs did some really good work to try and keep those kids connected to mental health services. But it was a tough road. And I think that piece is still out there, and we're still trying to navigate what that's going to do.
Well, you're aware of it. That's the first step, you know. And then I think one time, I think when we think about suicide, at least when I think about suicide, I think about youth. That always concerns me because of some of the things you just said, but it's just tough being a kid anytime, anywhere, you know, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. It's just tough being a kid. And I think that suicide, I'm glad that there weren't those focus groups when I was in high school that kids could go and talk to. And I just don't remember as much access. I don't think my parents would ever bring that up because I just know they wouldn't. But I don't want to leave this without talking about the elderly. That concerns me, not because I'm getting there, but it just does. And it has in here that men age 75 and up have the highest suicide rate of any demographic. And, you know, I think there's something we could do about that. I think loneliness drives a big part of that. I don't know enough about it, but I'm just telling you what I personally see. And I think I wish we treated elderly a little bit better in this country. You know, we don't honor them like they do in some other countries.
Well, and interestingly enough, like in this, I don't know how new the statistic, if it's accurate, but it's still got to be low, is elderly Black African-American women are one of the lowest. So the question is why? Why do they have the lowest rate, right? So it's that connection of generation. It's that connection of community. And so how do we take that and apply that to our high-risk populations, right? So then you look at, okay, is there something we could do with the, you know, connecting some of the senior men to groups because they, you know, often we need a little bit of help getting to connections, right? It's
absolutely.
Like, oh, come along with me. We're going to go with this couple out to dinner. Well, then if the wife passes away or something else happens, then they don't know where to start with it. So finding a way to create community around that group, from my perception, it would be a really great intervention. Do we, you know, we have community centers, we have opportunities, volunteer, all those kind of things that'll get you to the table with other people.
Yeah, I would agree with that. You know, when we talk about these coalition memberships, and they're always looking for volunteers. My experience is that, you know, I'd always say to them, how can we help your organization? Well, they need money, right? And there's fundraisers and that they should do that. But they're always looking for volunteers. And I look at these 40 organizations. What if someone would like to maybe join something like, I don't know, the Aging Disability Resource Center? I mean, they're looking for people there, or Center for Veterans Issues, the some health departments or family services, just goes on and on. there a catch-all for that, like a 988, or is there someplace if somebody wants to get involved and say, look, my heart's telling me to help with suicide prevention. Do you have a suggestion?
I think specifically to help with suicide prevention, you can start with our coalition. We are an open coalition. We welcome community members, especially survivors that have lost someone to suicide. And you can reach out by just emailing, it's bccfsp @gmail.com.
Okay.
To say, can I get on the email list? And you'd be able to join the meetings and get our minutes.
And I think 211 will get you access to volunteer opportunities.
We're going to put that stuff that's going to be on our website. It's going to be on our blog. And just thank you for what you're doing for our community. I mean, it's getting better every day, and really thanks to people like you. We appreciate you coming in here. We're going to have you back soon. All right?
Thank you.
All right, great. All right, thank you for coming in. All right, this is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt. We're going to be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
All right, welcome back, everyone. We're going to wrap it up here at Lean Local with Jim Schmidt. It's nice to be back. And those were some great guests, I thought. I mean, at the suicide prevention, I've always said that if you don't talk about it, it only gets worse, be it in your marriage or with your kids or any issue that we have in the greater Green Bay community. And like I said, it was 15 years ago that this thing started, this Be the Light Walk with just a handful of people. And now to get 1,500 people and 40 support organizations, and just to call that 988 and just reach out and say, look, I'm sensing this with my parents or with my son or my daughter or my wife or personally, and just have someone to talk to. And they've got the whole tree there on, look, this is what I think you should do, or this would be the next step. And you know, if you're in crisis, that's a whole different step they have to take on that. But if you just want to get some knowledge of things, then I thought that was interesting that if you want to get involved, to just Google that coalition, the Brown County Coalition on Suicide, to get involved in that, because there's some heavy hearts at these meetings, but they are all there. They're not there for sympathy. They are there to help. There's just some great uplifting stories. Like I told you that, well, the best, Jordan Love's sister was the speaker last Saturday. She was terrific. Their dad had committed suicide and was 50 years old, police officer. And, you know, they just didn't see the signs that were there. She kind of said that the signs were there. They didn't really see them. And she really explained how difficult that was for the family, and then that she herself was struggling a little bit. So just great to share those stories. And I think everybody walks away, or not everyone, but I think there's some people that just make that connection saying, look, I got to do something about this, or I need to go talk to someone about it. And I just think that's great. It's one of my favorite events.
Yeah. And I think speakers like that kind of go to show what Sarah was saying in the beginning of the show. You know, everyone is affected by this, mm-hmm. whether, you know, you have somebody in your life that has committed suicide or et cetera, et cetera. Everyone is affected by this, and suicide prevention in Green Bay takes all of us.
Yeah.
Right. So together, maybe all of us can be the light with a bit of a play on words on that event that drew those 1,500 attendees.
Yeah, it really can. And, you know, suicide, and she made a good point, and I don't want to leave this on a positive note, but she's got some concerns about this whole COVID thing, that, you know, loneliness, isolation, and then, you know, some of you, not you specific, well, sometimes I worry about you, but this social media, I just think is not good. I think when the Surgeon General said that he called that a crisis, like, you know, I thought he was right to put warning labels on it like he does for alcohol and cigarettes, but whatever.
I like that. And something that stood out to me that I think was a bit of an overarching theme throughout today's episode that might have gone a little bit unnoticed for some of our listeners is that Sarah was doing a good job of pointing out that oftentimes suicide is a symptom, right, to other issues that people are facing, right? So
right.
For older men, you brought up, you know, they're at high risk, and that might have a lot to do with that loneliness and isolation that they're experiencing. And I liked it when Sarah played on that, and she was saying, you know, we're actually seeing at the other end of that exact same spectrum with more community and less isolation with the Black women on the elderly side.
Right.
Like they're less affected by the age just because that root cause with the loneliness isn't there. And when I'm thinking about like social media and my age group and stuff like that, how much that is affecting people's loneliness and whatnot. And with what she said about COVID, how it still might be affecting people, makes me wonder if this loneliness is maybe even getting like unnoticed a little bit, and it might be a longer term issue, like what the Surgeon General was pointing at.
Yeah, I this loneliness for the older people, the younger people, you know. And she talked. We're gonna have them come back, and we'll see when we got some time. But this whole bullying on and I know that's not new on social media, but and then these people that just have to be a star that what they'll go through for that. I don't know, man. I worry about. I mean, I'm so glad my kids are, you know, you're never out of the woods, but at least they're not teenagers anymore. You know what I mean? So thank God these parents who are going through that right now, God bless them. I mean, it's got to be tough. And then there's this whole group that they don't even let their kids do social media. That's got to be tough as a parent. That is like, man, taking the car away when they're 16. But, I mean,
that's true.
Not gonna get killed in a car accident either, but anyway, it's gonna be fun to watch that. And I'm gonna keep in touch. I mean, both those ladies are friends of mine, so but we'll have them back another time. We have so many other guests that are coming up. Hey, and we'd mentioned some of them that are going to be coming in, some things on health and wellness, obviously, the whole immigration, school safety. We're going to talk about, you know, things that we're doing here in Green Bay, the Chamber of Commerce. Of course, their executive director just bowed out, but she's going to come in and tell us some of the things that she's done in the last 12 years. And really more importantly, some of the groundwork that she's laid for the next 10 years. Pretty exciting stuff that we're doing here in Green Bay. And I think that's all going to be very interesting. Con, who do people, if I know it's info something. If people have suggestions on who they want me to get on as a guest, or if people maybe have questions for our upcoming guests. I mean, we do tape this show earlier. It's airing today is Sunday, Sunday morning, and people are listening to the show. But if someone wants to send us a message.
Yeah, you can text in through the Civic Media app.
Okay.
And right on the bottom there's a huge bubble. Just click that. You can text in whatever your recommendations are, what you want to hear, anything like that.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Because I want to hear from the people. I did tell some people, hey, look, you know, the show's coming back. You know, I took a little couple month hiatus, lost weight. Nobody said anything, but I think I look much better. Anyway, so we're going to talk about a lot of things. And it's all going to be local. If it has something to do with the local community, local issues, bring it on. I'll get the guest in here. I know a lot of people. So this week, though, as I said, this airing Sunday. Any football today, Con?
You got the Packers versus the Browns.
Who's winning that?
Packers.
Shouldn't they win it?
They need to.
Yeah, I mean, come on. The Browns. They shouldn't even... Well, whatever. All right, and anything else going on this week, Kyle, that we can quickly?
Big event on Thursday. We have Eric Church come to town, so...
I don't know who he is, but that's great. Tell him welcome. No, I know who he is. I just get that. There's stuff going on at Cup of Joy. That's cool stuff going on. There's a big fundraiser at St. Matthew's for Feed My Starving Children. They're going to be a guest on the show. That's a great organization. I know we've got a lot of issues here. We talk about Lean Local. We're concerned about what's going on locally. This is a program where we get together as local people and we feed the world. So we're going to be doing that too. I'll talk more about that. But that is September 27th at St. Matt's. It's a great fundraiser. We're going to raise $25,000. And the John Kelly Orchestra is going to be there, and they are terrific. So thanks for listening. Any suggestions? Con, what is it again?
Just text through the Civic Media app.
Okay, we're going to do that. And thank you for listening. We will see you next Sunday, Lean Local with Jim Schmidt.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.